Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Major General Richard Thomas, Director of the Defense Health Agency's Healthcare Operations Directorate. So, General Thomas, would you elaborate on recent medical innovations such as blood clotting bandages, and to what extent has military medicine advances translated to the civilian world?
Well, I think that this is one of the great advantages of having a military health system, Michael. As I mentioned, I think the major, most of the major advances that we see in medicine really come from a service-related experience. Combat is the greatest catalyst to medical innovation, always has been. And whether we're talking about infection control measures, public health measures, and the finest vertically integrated trauma care system the world has ever seen, those advances are a direct result of our combat operations. And I think it's they translate very well to the civilian side. So the things that, you know, the medicine that we practice today becomes the standard of practice in medicine tomorrow. And you see there's plenty of examples of that. And my own experience, our work on traumatic brain injury, for example, has now become more accepted in society that it's not okay just to ignore a concussive injury, that you want to take these folks out. We have developed these protocols and these event-driven algorithms to help recognize early recognitions of signs and symptoms. We had a pain management task force that we jointly put together a few years ago, and that was we developed a landmark document based on that, which has been recognized by others, looking at rather than being a culture of a pill for every ill, let's look at alternatives on how we can manage pain in these people. New and creative ways. New as 5,000 years of acupuncture, introducing some of those options for folks, biofeedback, acupressure, alternatives to narcotics. Narcotics have a role. I'm a surgeon. I believe in them. But they shouldn't be the only thing that we provide our patients. And so that's been an exciting area, too. That's a direct result of what we were seeing with polypharmacy challenges and with some of our chronic pain patients in the military. You already mentioned the psychological health challenges we see. We've learned a lot over that time. I think the key for us, whether we're talking about areas in trauma care, infectious disease care, or prevention, and certainly behavioral health and those types of things, it's not just what we are learning now. It's how do we sustain that for the future? There are only lessons learned if we apply them. And so the translation, the handoff between what we do in military medicine and the handoff to our civilian counterparts and colleagues is key, because that's really the ultimate training base. So as they adopt these things, they refine these things, they'll move on. You know, I think some of our telebehavioral health, for example, that initiative, now you'll see industry adopting that because they're actually going to, you know, they're going to use it as an opportunity to improve patient care and, by the way, make money off of it, you know. So that really is important. Those things are all positives for us. And those lessons learned. Now, you mentioned the blood clotting bandages and advances in regenerative medicine. Those are just a couple of the examples that we wouldn't be able to we can't do them alone. We must partner with our civilian university-based and research-based civilian organizations in order to sustain and advance those things. You know, we can the innovation begins here, oftentimes begins on the battlefield. But the long-term maturation or refinement of those capabilities is only possible because of the collegiality and I think the strategic level engagements that we have, partnerships we have with other organizations.
Well, you know, General, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges you think your directorate or your organization proper may encounter in the future? And how do you envision your directorate or your agency evolving to meet those challenges and possibly seizing those opportunities?
You know, Michael, as I look at this, you know, I mentioned we're just over a year old, and so we haven't even reached the goal of being fully operational yet. So we're continuing to mature as an organization. What's helped us is the services. They've all leaned forward. Those partnerships, those strategic partnerships, and that collaboration has been key to success. The Defense Health Agency really, it represents a once-in-a-generation opportunity. And it's mandated. We have to do something. We have to kind of get ourselves organized so that we can contain costs as best we can. But in, not just the cost. It's only one aspect of it. But ensuring the best health care is available to our beneficiaries. And I even, you know, I don't often like to use the word beneficiaries. I mean, these are our patients, you know, and as a doctor, I like to look at them that way. I know that it's up to us to sustain the benefit and make sure that we can continue to provide state-of-the-art care to them in the future. And without this necessary reorganization, we wouldn't be able to do it. So, you know, it's mandated. It's here. Let's make it the best possible that it can be. The DHA, I'm confident that it will succeed. We've got a great leadership team. We've got great partners that are committed to driving innovation, to standardization, and, you know, that maintaining collaboration with the services. I had already mentioned that I think that we in military medicine were the perfect model for jointness, and you'll see that – you certainly see that come together in the DHA. We're all in there together. All the services have given personnel and resources towards the DHA to enable it and stand it up and make sure that it's successful. They see that as the future. I think everyone recognizes that. I think if we look back, you know, the past is really a statement. The future of military medicine is directly linked to the success of the Defense Health Agency.
So, sir, what advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in public service, either as an expression in the form of military service or as a doc or a physician or a clinical?
That's a great question. You know, I look back on my own career and I didn't mean to stay this long. But, you know, time goes by, and I think that it's only – the reason I stayed is because I was working with great people. I had great experiences, great training opportunities. I believe military medicine really represents the marriage of the most noble calling and the most honorable profession, and that's just how I look at it. The men and women that I've had the opportunity to work with, both in uniform and our civilian teammates every day, many of them are so talented they could choose to do something else about anything else. You know, Michael, if you think about it, we've only got about, you know, 1% of the population, less than 1%, that's actually wearing a uniform of any flavor. And so they're service-minded folks. And while they could do other things, they stay here because it matters, especially when they see that we're a nation at war. And we're at war today. You know, we're still a nation that's engaged in combat operations, and we've got a host of a menu of items that we're also supporting around the globe. So I think that dynamic team of professionals, they help us define the practice of medicine, and so it's been exciting. And I think if you're a young person starting out, I would look hard at it because you're going to get an opportunity to practice within a great organization, and it really is state of the art. And there's certainly no shortage of opportunity there. So I think that if you really care about this nation, I can't think of a better way to show that than to serve, and that's whether it's in uniform or as a DOD civilian.
Well, Major General Thomas, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day and stopping by and talking about the important mission of the Defense Health Agency. But more importantly, I and the show would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thanks, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Major General Dr. Richard Thomas, Director of the Defense Health Agency's Healthcare Operations Directorate. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.